Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about Philbrook Museum's new exhibit featuring two of the world's most interesting and whimsical designers. Antibodies, the work of Fernando and Humberto Campagna, 1989 to 2009, is a mid-career retrospective. These Brazilian brothers' work, which encompasses humor, whimsy, as well as a strong social and sustainable message. Their designs are strongly influenced by the shanties of Sao Paulo's slums and the improvisatory nature of their construction, the flora and fauna of Brazil, and the use of found objects, which create pieces that are as much conceptual in nature as functional. The exhibit features over 100 works comprising furniture and accessories and both production pieces as well as one-of-a-kind prototypes. The exhibit also marks a new collaboration between Philbrook and the internationally known Vitra Design Museum in Germany. Philbrook is the first North American venue for antibodies. My guest today is Lauren Ross, the modern and contemporary art curator at Philbrook Museum, and she joins us to talk about antibodies, which is on display at Philbrook through October 7th. Lauren Ross, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Philbrook has opened a new exhibit of the work of Fernando and Humberto Campagna. Most people in this country probably don't know their work, but they're some of the most innovative designers around. How did this exhibit come to Philbrook?
Well, the exhibition was organized by the Vitra Design Museum, which is in Germany, and they are a museum, as their name suggests, devoted to design, and in fact are known all over the world for their design exhibitions. And they travel a lot of their shows, and we were interested in taking one of their traveling shows, but we sort of took it a step further by entering into an agreement with them. So Philbrook will be presenting three exhibitions organized by the Vitra Design Museum. This is the first of three. And they'll be happening every 2 years, so shows in 2012, 14, and 16. And as part of our arrangement with them, we'll be presenting the shows exclusively in terms of about a 250-mile radius. So these are exhibitions that you will not be able to see in Kansas City or Dallas, but you'll have to come to Tulsa to see them.
In fact, this show, I think, only has one other U.S. venue, which is out in Palm Springs.
Correct.
Yeah, after it comes to Philbrook. And in fact, it's been traveling for a couple of years, mainly in South America and in Europe.
That's right, exactly. The exhibition, it actually covers 20 years of production from 1989 to 2009, and the show started touring in 2009, so it's been multiple
venues.
More
like 3 years, yeah.
Right, exactly. Multiple venues in Europe, and then in South America, 4 different venues in Brazil, and came to us. So Philbrook is the North American debut.
Now, there's a good reason why Fernando and Humberto's work are not known that much is because they work in very small quantities for the most part, don't they?
For the most part, I think they have a very loyal fan base. So maybe listeners who are design aficionados will know who they are. They do have a loyal following, and it's interesting because they're certainly known in their home country of Brazil, but perhaps even better known in countries like Italy, where design is such a big part of a great awareness of it.
But, you know, in America, the designers, it's all about, you know, creating an industrial sort of design, and that's how they get their name out there, is because it's mm-hmm. readily available. These mm-hmm. pieces aren't, for the most part, readily available. A lot of times they're unique. A lot of times they're, you know, very small additions. And once you see the show, you get an understanding because it's using found objects for the most part.
That's true. I think in recent years they've started to reach wider audiences. So, in fact, Target actually produced one of their designs. And so, you know, it might even be a situation where things look somewhat familiar, but people just didn't know their names. But the exhibition brings together pieces, some of which are totally unique and some of which are produced in somewhat limited quantities, and then others that are mass-produced. And I think it's quite interesting because it sort of blurs the line, in fact, between those things. Often people ask, you know, what's the difference between art and design, and why would an art museum show design works? And these are artists/designers who really, really blur the line.
Very conceptual in their
absolutely.
In their design outlook. And in fact, I think one brother is an architect, but the other one comes to art and design with really no formal training, I think.
That's actually true of both of them. Neither one of them originally intended to become designers. Humberto studied law. He has a mm-hmm. degree in law and originally set out to be a lawyer. And Fernando studied architecture. Of course, there is a very close relationship between architecture and design. But both of them didn't, as I said, didn't really originally intend to be designers or intend to collaborate with each other. They both started down these sort of separate career paths. Umberto, although a lawyer, was always a maker of things, you know, mostly handicrafts. And I think maybe became a little bit disillusioned with law and started out very modestly adorning tables and picture frames with seashells that he collected on the beach. And they sold very well. And I think some of the early success of those pieces, you know, made him realize that, you know, perhaps there was a more of a career path available to him. And Fernando studied architecture. And so, of course, you know, they had an inherent interest in design. And the two of them really started collaborating in the 80s. So there are just a few select pieces in the exhibition that are attributed to one or the other.
But give us an example of some of the earliest pieces in the show.
Well, so we do have one of Umberto's early seashell-adorned picture frames. And, you know, that's interesting because that also talked a little bit about, you know, what's the difference between art and design. And I think similarly you could ask what's the difference between craft and decorative arts or design. You know, these guys really, really blur the lines. And perhaps arguably you could even say that it's because of their lack of formal training that they are so comfortable sort of pushing the envelope and, you know, playing with the line.
Yeah. Some of their work does remind you of going crazy with a hot glue gun. In many senses. But of course, they've evolved greatly since then. So you begin to see some of the early objects in the show, but you also see some of the ones that they're really known for, which is the sushi series.
Right.
And the banquet chairs, which are just these wonderfully imaginative pieces of furniture. And we should describe a banquet chair because a banquet chair is basically a sort of low-fitting, sort of contemporary design of the chair.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it's filled with stuffed toy animals.
Right. In fact,
for the most part, yeah.
Right. And not just filled as in the stuffed animals actually comprise the entire chair.
It's the upholstery.
It is the upholstery. Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
And they'll do series where I've seen ones where it's like dolphin and whales. There'll be multiple of all sorts of animals in one. There's one that's, I would really have trouble sitting in. It's like panda bears.
There's a panda bear version, right? Exactly.
You're sitting on this endangered species. But tell us about the pieces in the show that are...
Well, yeah, like I think, you know, one of the delightful things about their work is they use materials in totally unexpected ways. And a lot of it is quite whimsical and very tactile. In fact, you know, we're already anticipating that people are going to want to touch a lot of these pieces, particularly the stuffed animal pieces.
And you see a lot of their chairs you just want to sit in. And
right.
You see, because some look very comfortable, some look very uncomfortable, and you just have to want to check it out. Of course, you can't do that.
Right. Please don't at Philbrook. But
go buy your own.
Right, exactly. They are really fun and I think also subversive. A lot of what they do I interpret as being sort of tongue-in-cheek and maybe even poking fun a little bit at design.
Give us an example.
Well, they're very interested in materials and use materials in very unconventional ways. And sometimes the pieces almost feel like puns, like visual puns. For example, there's a garden chair in the exhibition, which is actually that the seat and back are made up of pieces of garden hose that they've cut into small sections. There's a chair made entirely of bubble wrap, which, you know, actually looks quite comfortable. I haven't tested it out, but, you know, that sort of idea of taking a material which is designed to be cushiony and then using it in this completely unexpected way.
Yeah. And let's talk about the sushi series, which is one of their more recent series, and they've done about three or four different series in this, and it's really imaginative use of materials. It's taking fabric remnants, for the most part, very brightly colored remnants, and using them in all sorts of strange ways. There's a chair that's, if you think of rolling up a whole bunch of remnants into sort of like this kaleidoscope thing, like that you would see when you cut open a sushi roll, and it's placed on the back of a chair and on the seating area of the chair. Others take that design and sort of elongate them, and then the fabric remnant is sort of flowing freely to create other chairs. Really fascinating how they create these pieces.
And even the idea of using remnants to create something new is a theme which runs through a lot of their work. They recycle and repurpose materials all the time. And an interesting thing is that there's a very, very strong tradition of that in Brazil. And in part, it comes out of the fact that there's extreme poverty there. And there are many people who have to collect materials to repurpose in other ways because they have no choice.
In fact, they have a series, pretty famous pieces, called The Favela, which is based on the sort of shacks of the Brazilian, the poor neighborhoods, where it's basically construct shelter of whatever you can find. In this case, it's constructed multiple strips of wood into a very classic chair form.
That's right. Both Rio and the city of Sao Paulo, which actually is where the Campanas live, are known for their favelas. And these are cities where there's both great wealth and great poverty, sort of living side by side. And the favela communities are these communities of structures that have been built out of found materials, you know, little scraps of wood, or sometimes cardboard even. And it's sort of a fascinating case of how necessity breeds invention. And so, you know, people walk around and collect materials and then actually turn them into dwellings. And so the Campana brothers made a favela chair. The original one was made in 1991. And it was really intended as sort of a tribute to this, you know, creative inventiveness. And the chair was later put into production. So now it is actually commercially available. And it's interesting, too, because the shape of the chair is somewhat reminiscent of a throne, you know, a very deliberate, very conscious decision on their part to sort of, you know, honor these people and make a point about, you know, having sovereignty over your life.
And I think that's one of the interesting things about this exhibit. These pieces are whimsical.
Yeah.
They're oftentimes very humorous, but there's also a lot of thought. I mean, this is very conceptual in the way they construct most of their pieces.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, again, talking about the, you know, what's the difference between art and design? You know, usually with design, we don't expect it to have the same kind of conceptual rigor behind it as we do with artwork.
It looks pretty.
It
has a function and it has appealing look.
Exactly. But you'll see when you come to the exhibition that the Campanas are certainly not thinking only of function. In fact, a lot of the pieces might seem totally impractical or even uncomfortable. I mean, if you look at the favela chair, it doesn't look like the most comfortable thing to sit in. But the Campanas have said that they believe that design should have meaning.
Now, you have what's known as their red chair.
That's right.
Which is, they've actually have a blue chair and a green chair, and they're various different designs, but they're very vivid red and very vivid blue and green. And these are, again, just cords of ropes. They were seeing a big tangle of corded rope out walking the streets, and they said, wow, this we'll make a chair out of this.
That's right. They really do use materials in an unconventional way, and a lot of their objects incorporate, you know, what we call found objects. I mean, essentially things that are either found out on the street or bought, and they're often very, very modest materials. You know, they might be incredibly cheap, easy-to-find materials. They use things like PVC piping and, you know, plastics. And the chair you're talking about is made of cotton rope. One of the fun things about this exhibition is that it gives you a sense of some of their working process. So there's an early chair called the 3-in-1, which was actually the predecessor to the red rope chair. So it uses red rope, but it also has other elements in it. And they decided it wasn't really successful. You know, a lot of that working process for any artist or designer is really trial and error. So they made the chair and decided there was really too much going on in it. In fact, it was really three different pieces in one, which is why they gave it the title of 3-in-1, and moved on from there. And so they did. They made the blue one and the green one, which the blue and green are not in this exhibition, but eventually came to the red and decided that that was the most successful one. So their difference is not only in the color, but in fact how much rope was used and how it was applied.
And the red looks like it would be comfortable because it almost looks like a rope chair in many ways. I mean, it's like, you know, like you see rope furniture and it's sort of, so you're going to sit down into it and you're going to sort of, it's going to sort of surround you.
Right.
The blue or the green, they were like regular high back chairs.
Right, exactly. I think they really wanted to get to a place where it wasn't just as if the rope was being applied to a piece of furniture, but is the piece of furniture. So the rope is the seat and the back. I mean, there is some understructure that's holding it together. obviously, something has to hold it up, but it's barely visible.
Yeah. Now, this was their first project, which really was industrially produced, but as I understand it, it's still craftsman oriented.
It is that the red chair is made by an Italian company called Idra, and they are the ones. The chairs are produced in Italy, but in fact, there is one man who makes them, and he hand weaves them. So all of that rope has to be woven by hand into the support structure.
And it's interesting that you say weave, because when you look at it, it does really look like a mess of rope.
That's right. It sort of looks like chaos, and I think very deliberately. But in fact, there is order behind the chaos. And that's interesting, too, that, you know, again, in terms of their questioning of boundaries between things, sort of the difference between what's handcrafted, you know, and actually made by hand versus things that are mass produced. So even the sort of quote unquote mass produced objects often still have to be made one at a time very carefully.
My guest today is Lauren Ross, Philbrook Museum's modern and contemporary art curator. Philbrook opened a new exhibit titled Antibodies, the work of Fernando and Humberto Campagna, 1989 to 2009. It's on display through October 7th at Philbrook Museum of Art, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Let's talk about some of the other pieces. There's one piece called One Family, and it's a very interesting mix of design creation and found objects, they're using plastic lawn furniture, you know, the typical porch chair, you know, if you will. They've weaved rattan around these multiple chairs to create this sort of, I don't want to call it a love seat, but it's like it's like something for the whole family, isn't it? It's like there's multiple seats in the chair.
It is. Part of the really fun juxtaposition of unlike materials that they do, or, you know, where they're mixing together hard and soft materials or organic and synthetic. Or again, you know, handmade and mass-produced. And that particular series incorporates all of those things. It's part of a series called the Transplastic Series. And woven rattan or wicker was, for a very long time, an established furniture tradition in Brazil. And pretty much went
everywhere.
Everywhere, exactly. But a lot of it was being produced in Brazil. And it sort of fell out of favor in the 20th century because plastics are so much, you know, faster and easier and cheaper to produce. So the Campanas said that they sort of had this vision that, you know, this sort of fantastical vision of, you know, what happened if plastic took over the world and you know, like the soil became plastic and plants had to grow out of plastic soil. And so it's a sort of fantastical envisioning of that scenario where the woven rattan is enveloping, or it seems like it's almost swallowing these cheap plastic lawn chairs. So some of them are single objects, and then there's the one family cedar, which is actually three chairs that have been woven into one unit. And so, you know, a family of three could all sit in it.
They're also very small objects. They have a series of test tube bud vases.
That's right.
They take actual test tubes. They actually blow more glass in between, so they're connected. So they're sort of each one is shooting off at a very different angle.
That's right.
And they're just bud bases, just mm-hmm. totally found objects.
Exactly. And there's some where they're attached to each other, and there are others where they sort of sit in a bowl-like vessel that holds them in place. Actually, one of the really fun and unexpected pieces in the exhibition is a vase, but it's just a normal dishwashing glove, like a yellow, you know, synthetic dishwashing glove that you would buy at the hardware store or the supermarket. They've turned it upside down, and it's held up in a little metal stand, but it's upside down, and the idea is that you fill it with water and you put flowers into each of the fingers.
Interesting. Yeah, it's really cool stuff. We mentioned the stuffed animal chairs. They also have a series with cotton dolls,
if you will.
I guess they're the typical dolls you'd see, you know, a family in the street with a small child would have?
Well, the really interesting things about those dolls is that they're rag dolls and they're handmade. And that's another case of a traditional Brazilian craft. In fact, that particular type of doll, which is made not in the cities, but in a much more rural area in Brazil, that particular handicraft had almost completely died out. It was almost extinct. And there's a nonprofit organization in Brazil that was founded by the former first lady, wife of a former president. And the mission of the organization is to keep these traditional handicrafts alive and teach other people to do them, which I think in a way sort of fights globalization. I mean, it sort of keeps this, you know, this local culture alive, but also when these things are sold, then they benefit the people who make them, who are often really sort of underprivileged and underserved.
So was there an altruistic meaning behind doing this particular chair?
Absolutely. I've read that particular type of doll, that there was literally one woman left who was making them, but through the efforts of this organization, there are now 40 women who have been taught this technique, and the Campana is deciding to incorporate those dolls into a piece that is distributed much more widely, is very conscious, I think, and you know, helps support those local traditions, keep them alive, and also financially support people.
There's another series called the Blow Up series, which I've seen, like big wall medallions. I'm not sure if there's any in the show, but it's like, if you can think of a Sao Paulo neighborhood of apartment buildings and multiple television antennas just going in every direction,
right.
And they've created a sort of a two-dimensional image of that. And there's also three-dimensional work that uses that sort of massive, you know, zigzagging aluminum or sometimes bamboo to create furniture and ornamental pieces.
Absolutely. There's several blow-up pieces in the show, and as the title implies, they really have the look almost as if the elements are just exploding in place. They're shooting out with incredible force. And the city of Sao Paulo is a huge source of inspiration for them. And there is a video included in the exhibition. It's about a 10-minute video in which a camera crew followed the two of them walking through the streets of Sao Paulo. They're talking about sources of inspiration, and you see them, you know, buying things from street vendors or pointing out things that are interesting to them. Sao Paulo I unfortunately have not been there myself, but it seems like an absolutely fascinating city, and it's a huge city. The population is close to 20 million people, which, if you think about for a moment, is absolutely mind-boggling.
Two New Yorks.
Plus.
Yeah.
So it's a city that is, you know, congested and overcrowded. And at one point in the video, they talk about the fact that in many ways it's an ugly city, but they find tremendous inspiration in it. And I think consider it almost a personal challenge to find the beauty in the ugliness.
I know. I'm not sure if there's any pieces like this in the show. They have a series dedicated to their mother, the Celia series, in which it's getting back to that favela sort of look. But this is like multiple materials have sort of pressed into, and it's chairs. It's not only chairs, but it's coffee tables, it's buffets, it's benches, a variety of sizes of chairs and sofas made out of this sort of pressed material, which I would imagine is sort of that material that you sort of create a wall out of something that doesn't really make up a wall.
Right.
And, you know, they're celebrating that ugliness and making it beautiful in many
exactly,
ways.
Exactly. And I think their Brazilian roots are very important to them. I mean, they now live in the city and take a lot of inspiration from the urban environment. But I think the entire country of Brazil serves as inspiration for them. And so throughout the exhibition, you see examples of things that are based, you know, often very loosely, but are based on say, the flora and fauna of the Amazon rainforest or, you know, other areas. They actually were both born outside of the city of Sao Paulo, and they spend a lot of time in the country. And, you know, Brazil is such an eclectic and also distinctive country. You know, you can see evidence of the fact that Brazil is such a multi-ethnic country, for example, you know, multiracial. And it's a country where close to half of the population actually self-identify as being multiracial. And so, you know, people are descended from a combination of, you know, European settlers, African slaves, Native Indians, and some of that mixing is really evident in the work. We talked a little bit before about the chair made up of the rag dolls, and those dolls are not Caucasian. I mean, their skin is, you know, they're literally multicultural dolls. And I think that's, you know, again, a deliberate choice and a little bit of a sort of, you know, perhaps even a little bit of social commentary by choosing to work with those.
And some of the objects they find to work with are just utterly fascinating. I think there are pieces of the tattoo series, which are a table made out of little corrugated plastic drain screens.
Exactly.
You'd see them on a on a deck next to a pool.
Mm-hmm.
They might be actually be in your shower.
Exactly.
And they've seen these pieces and they said, wow, we can make a tremendous piece out of this.
Exactly. So they're cheap, readily available strainers, right, that you would
mm-hmm.
put over a drain. And the entire top of the table is tiled from these little square drains. And the piece makes a beautiful pattern on the floor when the light shines through it. You get a pattern on the floor which is sort of looks like carpet or a tribal tattoo, and hence the title tattoo.
Yeah. And I've seen another piece where they're using a decorative tile that they use in Brazilian construction. It's to allow ventilation through your wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have wall, but you have these tiles in there, so you gets the breeze through into the backyard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They've created tables made out of that. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just really fascinating the way they use the materials that are there to create these just unusual pieces. And we should mention one other piece that is a part of it, which this is the one where I think people would really want to sit in, and it's an anemone chair.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically mm-hmm. just this metal circle,
mm-hmm.
and it has a sort of flexible clear PVC pipe.
Clear tubing. Creating,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
tubing,
mm-hmm.
Strung over a metal frame. It sort of looks like a beanbag chair, except
right.
you have this metal frame on the outside. It's really a whimsical piece.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and the title suggests that they look at a lot of natural forms and copy them. So there are, you know, really fantastical looking creatures in the show that sort of look a little bit like sea creatures, or there's a stool in the exhibition entitled the Vittoria Regia, which is the translation is Queen Victoria, but it's named for an Amazonian water lily. It's an enormous plant. The flowers, the blooms are about a foot in diameter, but the lily pads are even bigger. They can be up to 8 feet in diameter. So there's really distinctive pieces, and they've made a series of stools they named after them.
Yeah, and they're using that same sushi form with the fabric remnants, except they're sort of open and they flow outward.
Yes.
Yeah, like a flower in many ways.
Exactly.
Now, it's really fascinating work, and of course, in all of their work, not only is there this connection to flora and fauna, but even in all the materials they use, if it's, you know, found objects, you know, you're repurposing them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using natural objects, a lot of times they're very sustainable. The bamboo is one of the main wood forms they
That's
use.
Right. That's right.
Which, of course, is, you know, one of the most sustainable wood products out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, there are some native Brazilian woods in their work, but you don't see a lot of that. I mean, I think that's, again, a very deliberate choice that they're not using tropical hardwoods.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting thing about most of the furniture is there's a hardscape that supports all this, but
mm-hmm.
they really hide it well. I mean, it's through upholstery or just the way they use these materials.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating show.
I should say that it's such a distinctive-looking exhibition, not just because of the works, which are fascinating, but the whole design of the exhibition, the whole presentation of the work is really distinct. Vitra Design Museum is very specific about their aesthetics, and the show has a really distinctive look with angled walls and these intricate platforms that are rather complicated geometries on which all of these objects are set. And the gallery is really colorful, and it's a very lively exhibition. There's sound, there's slideshows, it's sort of multisensory.
And if you really like this work, you need to go to the Campagna Brothers website, because it's like
that
deluxe.
Yes. Exactly.
Anyway, the name of the exhibit is Antibodies, the work of Fernando and Humberto Campagna. It's on display at Philbrook through October 7th. Lauren Ross, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Lauren Ross is the modern and contemporary art curator at Philbrook Museum of Art, and Philbrook is featuring the work of Fernando and Humberto Campagna, Antibodies, a mid-career retrospective on display at the museum through October 7th. More information at philbrook.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.